Well, welcome to another broadcast of Transforming Grace. Thank you for listening to this radio station and to this particular broadcast. I hope that you join us each week at this time and that these messages as we study John's Gospel are helpful to you. We're praying to that end that God would use them in a great way in your life to encourage you, to build you up, to challenge you. And we're just leaving all of that with the Spirit of God as He works in your life and brings about His purposes. We're trusting that some of you who listen to us who maybe are not Christians might be drawn to know the Savior. Well, we're in John chapter 18. We'll continue from where we left off last time. And before we do that, we'll pray together. Lord, we're thankful for another day of your grace and mercy. You are lingering over this world. You're waiting to give men and women and boys and girls opportunity to trust you, to find shelter from the wrath of God under your precious blood that you shed at Calvary's cross. It's a wonderful testimony of your grace and mercy that you would continue to wait despite all of the sin in the world and the opposition against you. You're waiting for sinners to come to repentance. We pray that it may be true today that many will trust you as they hear your word and believe it. And so we commit this time to you. We pray your blessing upon us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you were with us last time, you'll remember that we're in John's Gospel, chapter 18. We're looking at this conversation between Pilate and Jesus. And we've entitled these messages for this chapter, The Conflict of Kingdoms, because there is a conflict going on here between Pilate's position as governor over Palestine on behalf of the Roman government, the Roman Empire, if you will, and that there's a conflict between that kingdom and Jesus' kingdom. Now, Jesus' kingdom, of course, is spiritual. He didn't come when he came the first time to establish a physical kingdom, but you can see in this conversation that Pilate is concerned that Jesus might be leading a bunch of rebels to take over and to establish his own kingdom, of which he would be the king. And so Pilate fears this. You can see it in Pilate's questions and hear it in the words that he uses. And Jesus, of course, puts to rest that whole notion. He's not here to take up swords and to fight, but rather to come to introduce men and women and boys and girls to his spiritual kingdom. And so we noticed last time that in verses 33 to 35, the kingship of Jesus separates cynics from seekers. We talked at length about what a cynic is, someone who is distrusting, someone who is scornful of others, someone who looks down on them, who is critical of other people and their opinions and who they are. And Pilate here is a cynic. He cynically asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" With that cynical tone to his voice, can it be possible that you of all people could possibly be the king of the Jewish people? And his implication, as we mentioned last time, is that that's utterly ridiculous to think of that. So Pilate has a very disdainful view of Jesus. He looks down on him and considers him pathetic. But Jesus' response to Pilate is quite different. He isn't speaking down to Pilate. He's not criticizing Pilate or saying anything negative about Pilate, but he's trying to expose the truth of his heart, whether he genuinely is seeking to know the truth or not. And ultimately, in this conversation with Pilate, that's what it comes down to. What is the truth, and does Pilate really want to know it? Well, we saw then that cynics sneer at God. That's what Pilate was doing. And seekers hunger for God. And we challenged you as we spoke about this last time as to whether you were genuinely hungering after God. And you'll notice now, as we go to verse 35 of John 18, that Jesus' challenge to Pilate separates cynics from genuine seekers. How do we tell the difference? Well, the heart displays the difference. Let's go to the text in John 18 and let's read from verse 33 again, where we started last time, to verse 36. John chapter 18, starting at verse 33. Then Pilate entered the governor's headquarters, the praetorium it's called, and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus answered him, "Are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me?" And Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done?" And Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight, so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." And so you can see why I've titled these messages in this passage, "The Conflict of Kingdoms." You see, because Jesus is trying to describe now to Pilate that his kingdom, Jesus' kingdom, is of an entirely different nature than Pilate's earthly kingdom. And so, how do we know who is a cynic and who is a genuine seeker after God? How does Jesus find out the truth about Pilate's heart and his motive for asking this question in verse 33? Well, the heart displays the difference. Pilate's angry and indignant response displays the reality of his heart. He says, "Am I a Jew?" He says, "Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done?" So not only does Pilate show contempt for his subjects, the Jewish people over whom he ruled, and he shows that contempt when he says, "Am I a Jew?" He's really saying, far be the thought. That's the worst thing you could possibly think about me. Am I a Jew? But he also shows the shallowness of his question. He says, "I don't really care whether you're their king or not. I don't care if you're the king of the Jews or not. It's your people who care. They're the ones who've brought the charge against you. It's your own nation that has brought you to me and delivered you to me and accused you of certain things." And Jesus' reply, you see, irritated Pilate. He was accustomed to receiving answers, not challenges. He was not used to prisoners being brought to him and touching his conscience and exposing the truth of his heart. But Jesus' challenge manifested the reality of Pilate's heart. That's how you tell the difference between whether a person is a cynic, a doubter, a bitter, angry person who's against everybody and looks down on them. That's how do you tell the difference between a cynic and a genuine seeker after God? It's in the content of their heart. The heart displays the difference. Jesus' challenge manifested the reality of Pilate's heart. He wasn't sincere at all. He was only carrying out his duty, and he didn't even really want to do that. So notice that the kingship of Jesus separates cynics from seekers. You're either a follower after Jesus, you're either a disciple of Jesus. He's either your master or Lord, in which case you are a seeker after God. You are earnestly looking to God and desiring to know more of God and trusting God. And you're genuine in your faith and your belief. Or you're a cynic, you're a doubter, you're a pessimist, you're like most of the world who don't believe in God. So the first point that we've noticed in this conversation is that the kingship of Jesus separates cynics from seekers. Now we're going to notice the second thing here. The kingship of Jesus separates the physical from the spiritual. Separates the physical from the spiritual. Pilate now asks, "What have you done?" Pilate is asking the prisoner, which is what Jesus was at this point, to explain why he's there. It's kind of a strange thing to do, isn't it? You'd think that the judge would have known exactly why he was there and what the charges were against them, and would have made diligent inquiry as to whether these charges were true or not. But it didn't really matter to Pilate whether Jesus called himself the king of the Jews, because the reality for him was, what have you done? Not what your position is, what have you done? Have you committed any crime at all? Or is this a big conflict about nothing? Is this much ado about nothing? This is further confirmation that Pilate is only interested in performing his duty as a judge. He doesn't want to know who Jesus is. He doesn't want to become a follower of Jesus. He isn't interested in that. Frankly, he's not really interested in the facts at all. But now he's asking the prisoner to say, what crime have you done, if any? He doesn't care who Jesus is, only whether he has committed a crime. Jesus doesn't answer Pilate's question as to why he is there. He doesn't answer Pilate's question about what he's done. Instead, Jesus answers the original question concerning his kingship in verse 33. He goes back to that question, are you the king of the Jews? And so in verse 36, that's the question he answers. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight. So he begins to explain to Pilate that he is a king of an entirely different nature. Jesus replies that his kingship is not a physical entity. He is not king over a physical dominion, over a physical country. He says, my kingdom is not of this world. It's as though he's saying to Pilate, if you're concerned that I have a kingdom that is a rival to yours, that is a competitor to your kingdom, let me put your mind at rest. My kingdom is not of this world. You see, this was the nub of the whole issue. This was the whole thing here in a nutshell. Not what he has done, but who he is. That's why Jesus doesn't answer the question, what have you done? That's not the issue. The issue is, who is he? That's the very thing that Pilate doesn't want to know. The very thing Pilate doesn't want to know is what Jesus is going to tell him. And the thing that Pilate does want to know, what have you done, Jesus does not answer. Is he a king? And if so, in what sense? Is he a threat to Pilate and to the rule of the Roman government? Do we need to be concerned about him? Is he going to take over the world? The answer, of course, is yes, I am a king. Jesus is saying that. My kingdom is not of this world. He's saying, yes, I am a king, and I have a kingdom. But my kingdom is of an entirely different nature than yours. It's a kingdom that is real, but it's not physical. It's not a physical entity. You can't point to it. You can't see it. It's not a physical kingdom. Pilate represented a kingdom that was wholly of this world. It was a physical kingdom, which depended on its armed forces for its authority. But Jesus clearly differentiates here between that kind of a kingdom and his kingdom. He calls it my kingdom, as opposed to Caesar's kingdom, as opposed to the kingdom of Rome. Since he has a kingdom, then we can conclude he must be a king. But his kingdom is not of this world. It's otherworldly, not this worldly. It's in the world, but it has nothing to do with earthly kingdoms. It's not a political kingdom or a political entity. It wasn't given to him by an earthly power. It is of an entirely different nature. It is not established by worldly methods. It's not built up or authorized by the world. It doesn't have a government like earthly kingdoms have. It isn't obtained by war or conflict. His kingdom doesn't employ earthly means. And that's why he says his officers, his servants, do not fight. He says, if my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight, so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. In other words, I wouldn't be here standing before you if my kingdom was an earthly kingdom. Because if it was an earthly kingdom, my officers, my disciples would be fighting for my freedom. But they hadn't put up any resistance when Jesus was captured. Oh yes, we know one of the disciples did cut off a man's ear, but Jesus restored it again because that wasn't the way Jesus wanted to deal with this. That wasn't the right response when they came to capture Jesus. His servants would not fight to establish his kingdom. His servants wouldn't fight to advance his kingdom or to expand his kingdom. If it were an earthly kingdom, his officers would have fought. They would have fought to resist his being taken captive by the Jews and being brought before Pilate for this decision as to whether he would be killed. Notice that Jesus identifies his opponents as the Jews, not the Romans. The Romans were rulers over Palestine at that time. It was one of their colonies, if you will. But they aren't his opponents. He's not in conflict with Pilate or Caesar. It's the Jews. It was the Jews who had delivered him to Pilate and who had brought these charges against him, that he was claiming to be their king, and they were, of course, refusing that. Jesus was telling his judge here not what he had done, but who he was. He's telling him that he was a king with a kingdom, but a kingdom that was entirely different. Not an earthly kingdom, but a spiritual kingdom. This is a king speaking, and when the king speaks, we need to listen. Jesus said, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear shall live." We need to hear his voice. Today he says, "If you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts," the writer of Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 and 8 says. In Isaiah chapter 55 it says, "Incline your ear and come to me, hear, and your soul shall live," in verse 3. Luke chapter 9 and verse 35 it says, "And there came a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him." And here in this scene before Pilate, this is a king speaking. And when the king of the universe speaks, we need to listen. Without him, all we have to cling to is an earthly kingdom. We have nothing else. We have nothing beyond this life. With all kinds of voices clamoring for our attention, it's so easy to become distracted with earthly kingdoms and earthly possessions. But Jesus' kingship and his kingdom is not a physical entity. It's a spiritual entity. Look at verses 37 and 38. Let's read them. "Pilate therefore said to him, Are you a king? Jesus answered, You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." His kingship is a spiritual entity, a spiritual realm. Pilate asked once again, "So then, are you a king? You are a king, are you?" he says in verse 37. He's saying, "I asked if you were the king of the Jews, and you didn't give me an answer. Are you now claiming that you are a king?" And Jesus replies, "You say rightly that I am." Rightly is implied by the context when he says, "For this cause I was born." So Jesus is saying, "Yes, you're right. I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world." And so he confirms that Pilate was right in deducting that he was a king. He is a king by birth. "For this cause I was born." He was born for the purpose of being a king. He did not become a king by inheriting a kingdom from a predecessor. He didn't get it from having an earthly father who passed on a kingdom to him. His kingship was effective at his birth. He already was a king when he was born. He is a king by birth. "For this cause was I born." He is a king from another world. He says, "For this cause I came into the world." He came into the world as a king from another world. That is, he came from the Father. He had a pre-existence before he was born into this world. He existed before his birth in his heavenly kingdom with his Father. He is a king from another world. He is a king who proclaims the truth. He says, "I came to bear witness to the truth." He came to bear witness to his kingdom truth, to the truth about his kingdom and who he is. By his deeds, by his incarnation, that is his birth and being made into a man, becoming a man, his death and his resurrection and his ascension back to heaven. And by his words, He testified the truth about what he had seen and heard in the Father's presence. That's why he came, to bear witness to the truth about who God is and how we can know God, and the truth about who we are. This is the basis on which his kingdom was established. And notice also that he is a king over a kingdom of truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. The nature then of his kingship is that he is a sovereign over a kingdom of truth, over the kingdom of truth. And so Jesus' claim to being a king was not a kingship that challenged Rome or any other country for that matter, or any government or any authority. It's outside and apart from this world, and it's inside people's hearts. It's a kingship in the hearts and lives of all who listen and obey the truth. It is a spiritual kingship, a kingship in the spiritual realm of the truth. And everyone who is of the truth, he says, hears my voice. And so the implied invitation here is that we would listen to his voice. It's not just a question of whether Pilate responds or not, but are we going to respond? He was inviting Pilate to listen and embrace the truth. He was giving Pilate an opportunity to believe the truth about God and about himself and about salvation and so forth. But Pilate was one of those who didn't believe it. He was not of the truth. He was not listening to the truth. He was not prepared to accept the truth. To embrace Jesus, you see, is to embrace the truth about him and to be part of his spiritual kingdom. And now everyone, whether Jew or Gentile, can hear the voice of truth. We can hear it through his word, through the gospel. And it's ironic that the one who is the truth suffered from the lies that were laid against him. It's also ironic that Pilate was not fooled by those lies. He knew that they had delivered Jesus to him because of envy. It says in Matthew 27 and verse 19, Pilate knew that the accusations that the Jews brought against Jesus were not valid, that they had an ulterior motive. But even so, Pilate rejected Jesus. The question today is whether you're going to reject him or not, or whether you are an earnest seeker after the truth. Have you sought the truth? Have you heard the truth? Have you listened to the voice of Jesus? Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. And Jesus says in John 10 that my sheep hear my voice. Are you one of his sheep? Are you one of his disciples? Are you following him? Is he your king? And do you live now in that spiritual kingdom over which he rules? And as I said last time, one day he's going to establish his physical kingdom. He's coming back to earth. And in that day, all of those who oppose him, whether Jew or Gentile, are going to be put down. He's going to put down all of his enemies. They're going to be subdued under his feet. They're going to bow the knee to him. And he is going to rule as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The question today is, who are you following? Whose voice are you listening to? Do you know the truth? Do you know the truth about God? Do you know the truth about how we can know God? Do you know the truth about eternal security in Christ through his death and his resurrection? Are you seeking genuinely for God? Or are you like Pilate, one who doesn't really care, doesn't want to know who Jesus is, doesn't want to know the truth? And there are so many people in the world today that couldn't care less about God and the truth. They're living their lives in complete ignorance of who God is, and they have no interest in knowing him. They're cynics, they're skeptical, they're doubters, they're opposed to God, their lives are in conflict with God. Well, you today can have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. May that be true in your life. This is a wonderful conversation here that brings out the truth of the heart of Pilate. And the Word of God brings out the truth of each one of our hearts. And God knows your heart. He knows if you have earnestly sought after him and if you have believed the truth concerning him and concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you have, then you are a genuine believer, you are a Christian, you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, and one day you're going to reign with him in his kingdom. That will be a wonderful day, and we should pray for him to come and for his kingdom to come, for him to establish his kingdom on earth. He didn't do it the first time he came, but he will do it the second time he comes. Well, that's all we have time for today. Thank you for joining us again on this program of Transforming Grace, and may God bless you as you live your life for him.